Welcome to Fashion to Pharma,
your guide where style meets sustainability. Hi, I'm Vanessa Bell, once an international model, now a farmer with a passion for merino wool. Join me as we explore sustainable fashion, uncover the magic of Australian merino wool, and embrace eco-conscious living. Let's start this journey together. Welcome back to Fashion to Pharma and welcome to spring. Today we're joined by Nicole Bennett, the founder of Sustainable Style School. Nicole empowers individuals to merge their personal style with sustainability. Nicole's journey into the world of sustainable fashion is really impressive, with extensive experience as an ESG manager and as a strong advocate against greenwashing. Nicole's experience with some of the most recognized brands in the fashion industry has profoundly shaped her approach to true sustainability. At Sustainable Style School, Nicole helps people discover their authentic style while making choices aligning with their values. She emphasizes the importance of creating a wardrobe reflecting our evolving lifestyles and body shapes, challenging the fast fashion industry by promoting thoughtful, sustainable practices. Nicole also leverages her inspiring Instagram presence to shift the conversation from ethical fashion to sustainable style, offering daily tips and hacks for those embarking on their sustainable style journey. I'm really excited to explore Nicole's insights on how to curate a wardrobe anchored by investment pieces, one that supports sustainability and one that is true to who we really are. Nicole, it is wonderful to have you here on Fashion to Pharma today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's such a pleasure. So I like to start off our episodes by getting to know our beautiful guests. So what's something our listeners might not know about you?
Ooh, fair bit. I guess I have three little babes at home. I've got an 11-month-old, a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So life is very full and wonderful. And I guess they also wouldn't know. I am in the fashion industry, but I guess I feel most comfortable and most myself, most alive when I'm out in the bush, backpack on, or out in the surf. Even though I'm a terrible surfer, I love surfing. and that's where I feel most alive.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I love surfing too, although being on the land, I don't get to see the ocean very often these days. So it's usually our yearly pilgrimage to the ocean, but I miss it so much. So Nicole, your journey into sustainable fashion is so impressive, from your roles as an ESG manager to authoring Transcend Trends. What inspired you to become the founder of Sustainable Style School?
Great question. So I've been in the industry for nearly 15 years. So before sustainable fashion was even a thing, before people were willing to pay me to do this, I was in this field. So I did my thesis on fair trade fashion a long time ago. And so my career started very organically. And then I got hired by David Jones to become their ethical sourcing specialist, which was just my dream role. And I've been in this industry now, so the sustainable fashion industry, for quite some time, worked for various different companies. And what I've seen is that we can create so much positive change in these companies, but it is limited. And I think, we can change the fabrics from conventional cotton to organic cotton. We can change from polyester to recycled polyester. We can look at the circular economy, we can reduce our carbon emissions, but it only goes so far. And so I believe in the power of the purse with the consumer. And I believe that we can make an impact simply by buying with intention. I think simply by forgoing the trends and really honing into what we love and want to cherish and want to wear, which is what our style is. And so just being a little bit more conscious of what we are spending our money on, I do believe that we can change the world through the fashion industry. Like, Australians currently consume 56 items of clothing a year. And to stay within our planet's boundaries, that needs to be between 5 and 7 pieces. So we need to dramatically decrease the amount that we're consuming. And in order to do that, there's no room for error. Like if I'm telling you that we can only purchase 5 to 7 pieces of clothing, we really want to make sure that they're pretty special. And I think we've just lost touch with what our style is. So I think, you know, we need to spend that time. We need to go back and we need to look at our body shape, skin tone, our lifestyle, and we need to look at what, you know, we want to say to the world through the way that we dress. And I think just naturally by finding our style, we're going to be able to slow that purchasing down. We're going to be willing to invest in quality rather than quantity. And I think we're going to be willing to look at the cost per wear instead of the recommended retail price. So the ripple effects of finding our own style is huge. And that's why I really believe in this cause. And it also has totally amazing impacts on our self-esteem and our confidence and our self-worth when we know who we are and we can learn to express that through style rather than trying to follow the trends and make, you know, getting on that trend carousel and never being able to get off, you know, always wanting the next best thing. We look inside and we can really hone in who we are and who we want to be and how we present that to the world.
Oh, there's so many nuggets of gold. So many, Nicole. This is such a topic that's very close to my heart. And I look back to my grandmother's generation and how, you know, beautiful fabrics were really relished, and how, you know, making their own clothes or having your beautiful boots that you might have, you know, it would have been a huge luxury to have them made from Italy, for example, or Spain, but to have those heels, I mean, right through my 20s, I always had beautiful boots that I would always have them resoled and you know, taking care and quality of investing in quality, but then taking care of it. So yes, lots of nuggets of gold there to really expand on. So you've worked with some of the most recognized brands in the fashion industry. How have these experiences shaped your approach to sustainability?
Yeah, we've accomplished a lot in these companies. And like I said, my role is very broad now. So sustainability to me is quite broad. You know, we're talking about animal welfare. We're talking about the environment. We're talking about the people along the supply chain. So working in these companies, it's shaped my understanding to sustainability that it is broad. It's not black and white. You know, you've got these third parties that are evaluating what these companies are doing and they're making it black and white. They're giving the customer probably what they want, you know, a score or a, you know, please avoid this brand. Sustainability is not simple. It is so complex. And every topic within sustainability, living wages or modern slavery, we're talking about really complex, really grey topics. For me, that's where sustainability, I think it is in sectors. I think the government has a responsibility to play. I think companies definitely have a responsibility to play, and the consumers have a part to play as well. And so that's kind of where I've segmented my understanding of sustainability, and it means something different to all three sectors. So customers, I don't know if they're going to purchase organic cotton over conventional based on the price. I think, and I don't know if it's their responsibility. I do think it's their responsibility to purchase what they are going to wear and treasure for years to come. I think it's their responsibility to take care of their clothes and mend it if it gets broken. But I think it's the brand's job to make sure that we are only using organic cotton or merino wool or non-mills wool. Like, I think that's their job.
Absolutely, Nicole. And I think also just to expand on that, and part of what I'm trying to do is really bridge that conversation between country and so agriculture and you know, fashion, and understanding that we can no longer work in silos. So as industries, we actually have to come together so that we're doing, you know, the best possible job that we can with in the remit of what we are doing. As you said, that it cannot be the sole responsibility of the consumer. We also need to be putting our best foot forward to be able to offer consumers, do the heavy lifting, if you like, so that by the time it lands with the consumer, they're in a position of, you know, feeling empowered about what they're doing and buying.
Yeah. They shouldn't have to choose between toxic and non-toxic clothing. All clothing should be non-toxic. All clothing should be, you know, ethically made. All clothing should be sustainable. You know, we've got to think about the future here, the future of our children, the future generations.
Absolutely. And I think there'll be a huge backlash actually on what the world has previously seen as being prestigious. So luxury brands, I think there's now going to be a shift towards producing luxury products that may be more expensive, however, are taking in every aspect of, you know, ethical and sustainable and responsible business pathways versus simply just producing en masse and making huge margins at the expense of humanity and the planet. So it's definitely, yeah, it's quite a contentious topic. So I know that, and just to what you've just said, you're obviously a strong advocate against greenwashing and you believe in true sustainability. It's, as you've just discussed, you're defining sustainability in a really, it's a really broad topic, but why is it so important to you? Where did this passion come from? Why is this so important to you?
Oh, sustainability as a whole. Gosh. Like I said, I did my, I had a fashion brand when I came out of school, and I always knew, like, I love setting up businesses and I've set up many in my time. And one of those was a fashion brand. And I knew if I went into any type of business, of course it would have to be done ethically. People are close to my heart. And I think as I grew older and like I had children, it became so much more important because you're looking at their future and you're thinking, if we keep consuming the way that we are consuming, we would need five planets to keep up with our demand. And so we're not going in the right direction. We need to taper things back. And so I'm doing this now for my children, going, how can we slow the consumption down? And I'm also doing it for the individual who has lost sense of their style and, you know, have lost sense of themselves. And I think there is just such validation there to go, let's spend the time getting in touch with ourselves and then being able to express ourselves to the world.
Absolutely, Nicole. So what I'm hearing from you is focus. You know, you're really focused on the planet and you're focused on individuals realizing the best version of themselves, which brings me to this fantastic offering that you have as a leader and as a teacher through Sustainable Style School. Are you able to let our audience know how you're tackling the challenges posed by fast fashion and as we've just discussed, how you're enabling and giving your students that sense of self?
Yeah, so the Sustainable Style School, we delve into self-style and sustainability. We're not the average stylist out there. I have been in the clothing industry for nearly 20 years, so I am very familiar with clothes and how they work, how they can work for your body shape, how they can work for your skin colouring, how they can work for your lifestyle. So I'm very familiar with clothes, and what I want to educate our students on is simply that. So we go through these steps where we talk about the artist and rediscovering yourself. We then look at our canvas, which is our lifestyle, body shape, skin tone. We then delve into our existing wardrobe and we get our hands dirty and we look at how can we style our existing wardrobe? How can we experiment? And then we look at some exciting techniques. So the techniques, they might be like the capsule wardrobe or the signature style or, you know, bringing out that color palette. And then the last module is that we look at is the exhibition and we learn how to express our style to the world. So that's kind of our philosophy around the Sustainable Style School. And we're simply engaging the woman who has gone through life changes, such as having babies, such as moving countries, such as starting a new career. And we're a little bit unsure about our style. And so this Sustainable Style School is there just to help her to get in touch with herself and then how she might like to express herself to the world. And like I said, that kind of leads, just that behavior shift really leads to those positive ripple effects, which is the slowing down, the being more mindful, writing a shopping list and making sure we stick to that rather than the going shopping and just buying on impulse. We also encourage that 30 wares. So hashtag 30 wares.
Oh, I love that. That's so good.
I can't claim that one. That was Lisa Siegel, but we do follow the same principle. We also encourage our students to do a recalibration of style every season. So every season, summer, autumn, winter, spring, we get together and we do a recalibration of our style. And that simply looks at the next 3 months ahead and we say, what's ahead for me in my lifestyle in the next 3 months? Am I, you know, do I have a holiday planned? What's the season looking like? The weather? Am I going to be working in the office? And we look at what's needed and we simplify things. We create a capsule wardrobe for the season to come. And we encourage our students to invest in one outfit a season. And that might be a top and a skirt or it might be a dress. And this would kind of become the hero of the next 3 months for their wardrobe. And that really tapers down that whole consuming on impulse and just, you know, buying for the sake of buying. And because when it comes to our wardrobe, having more in it is not necessarily better. It's more confusing and it creates mayhem in the morning when you're trying to get dressed. But if we just slow down and we look at the season to come and we create that collection, you know, with the hero piece that we've purchased, if we want to, we don't need to, and then we build the rest of our collection out using our existing wardrobe. And it's just much more of an intentional way of going about getting dressed and curating that closet, which is tailored to you.
That sounds amazing and so much fun. And the other thing that I would add to that is around the care of your existing wardrobe. So for example, you know, with beautiful knitwear, I know when I was growing up, there was awful mothballs that you'd think, oh, gee, they're awful. But you can get around that in a natural way by doing things like having hue and pine balls in with your knitwear and sealing them and making sure that they're free from moths. And also, as another one of my guests, Alison Leonard, pointed out, just by choosing to wash your garments in cold water and the longevity that that brings, so, and also kinder to the environment. So I think when you're looking at your wardrobe, also considering how you can take care of that wardrobe long term, because certainly I, as a passionate wool grower, I know if you have one of my, you know, beautiful jumpers on, you can have that garment for, you know, at least 10 years if you look up after it. So,
and I do think if we invest in our clothes, if we spend that more, we're going to be more desperate to take care of them. So I think it works, you know, coincides, because we're not going to go and invest in a beautiful woolen jumper and not take care of it. So I think it is shifting our whole behavior when it comes to the clothes in our wardrobe.
Definitely. So, Nicole, I know that you've written a book, Transcend Trends. Are you able to discuss the importance of breaking free from trends, and how do you guide individuals in discovering their personal style amid this ever-changing fashion landscape?
I wrote a book, Transcend Trends and Create a Sustainable Future. And this was, I really believe, you know, when we find these trends and we feel like we need to jump on board, otherwise we're going to get left out. It's this whole FOMO, fear of missing out. This is what's spurring consumption. And fast fashion brands, they survive off trends. And they love, you know, getting you on board with the trend. And then as soon as you are, they'll ditch that and they'll come up with another one. So we're forever on this carousel and it's really hard to get off until we find our style and we go, actually, those trends do not make sense for my lifestyle, body shape, skin tone. So it's actually the first thing I encourage our students to do is to stop following trends. You know, like I said, they've been designed to promote consumption. They change rapidly and they make you feel the need to constantly buy new items, which is just not sustainable in itself. So the first thing we try to get our students to do is detox from trends. Take a little shopping break. Take that time to get in touch with your inner self. And that might mean taking a break from fashion magazines, influencers, trend-focused content, because it's hard when you see these things. That FOMO is real. So you just need to disconnect to reconnect with your personal preferences.
And also, you know, I mean, I've been in the fashion industry since the, goodness, this is putting, letting the, you know, the age of come out of the closet, but I've literally been, I started modeling when I was 15. So that was, you know, 1989 and a long time ago now. And I've seen these trends come and go, and the acceleration, as you've just spoken to, of those trends and just, and how the impact that that's having on the environment. But I think if you have a really strong sense of self, of who you are and what makes you feel comfortable and how that relates to your lifestyle, when you get that sense of and you get into a groove, styling becomes something that becomes, in my mind, really joyful. It's something that I really enjoy, as opposed to, I know I've got girlfriends that just completely, you know, horrified about the thought of getting dressed in the morning or being able to tackle their wardrobes. I think what you're doing is just amazing, because that sense of being able to really empower women to take ownership of how they present to the world. And as you said, you know, there are certain trigger points when you're returning to the workforce, for example, after having children, or, you know, you've been with small humans for months and months on end, and it's this feeling of, how am I going to plug back in, where I've lost myself, that feeling of I don't know who I am anymore. So I think that empowerment angle is so important. So, you know, the Sustainable Style School you've spoken to really emphasizes the intersection of self-style and sustainability. How do you feel in terms of aligning their personal style with sustainable choices? I know that you've spoken to choosing one investment piece per season. Do you feel, are you seeing with your students a shift in mindset around making sustainable choices, or is it just complete fear of, is it overwhelm?
I think there is an overwhelm for sure. And I don't want to create overwhelm for our students. What I try to simplify it as much as possible, because, you know, life is hectic. We live in a really crazy world. And that's where, you know, I do talk a little bit about with our students about if they're interested, conventional cotton versus organic cotton. And, you know, we go into those fibers and the preferred options, because really we know that there's no sustainable fiber. Every fiber is taken from the planet. There are preferable fibers that have a less impact on the environment and on people, and that's what we can talk to. But, you know, our students, they still want to be stylish and they still want to be, you know, feel great. And so that's really our focus, is on the consumption, reducing that consumption. Because let's say, like, if, you know, if we're buying organic cotton but we're still buying 56 pieces of organic cotton tops, that's actually not going to curve any problem that our planet is facing. So for me, in the school, it's really that the consumption that we're focused on, not so much which brands are you shopping with. Well, it's a part, it's definitely a part, and I definitely avoid fast fashion. I'm quite black and white about that. Our focus is definitely on, you know, what you're buying, how often you're buying it, and how you're going to treat that garment moving forward.
The other thing I would say is, when you're looking at women's, you know, body shapes are changing, different parts of their life, you know, some women, for example, stepping into perimenopause after having children, are you able to share any strategies or give any guidance around how they can enter that next stage of their life with that sense of comfort through styling?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't believe there's anything such thing as timeless. I think that's a really controversial thing to say, but I don't think, you know, there's a garment that is, maybe I'm a bit wrong, maybe a few special pieces, like a beautiful cashmere or woolen jumper, that might be excluded in this what I'm saying. But majority of clothes aren't timeless. The majority of clothes you are going to grow out of, whether that be physically or mentally or, you know, spiritually, you're going to grow past. And so I think, you know, we just need to cut things down and go, okay, for the next 5 years, this is like, so I'm coming out of having my babies now, and for the next 5 years I see myself, you know, I'm going back to my career, I'm starting a business, I'm still working from home a lot, but this is what I foresee happening in my near future. So I think, you know, doing bite-sized pieces and knowing that we are forever growing, which is a really positive thing and we want to. And that's probably why trends don't fit the mark. We want to move past trends and we want to go with that, the longevity of our style as much as we can. So my kind of policy is that hashtag 30 wears, making sure can we get 30 wears out of it. And I do try to encourage our students to look at the next 5 years. And then when we find ourselves hitting that milestone birthday or that different, you know, thing in life, you know, where things change, you know, we work for different companies who have a different dress code. We move cities, things are going to change. And then I just encourage that recalibration. And it's similar, like every season, I would say every milestone, you go through and you do a detox and you go through the same process. And the more you can do that, the more refined your style is going to be, the easier it's going to become. And you'll hold on to things within your wardrobe for that next milestone. And then you'll let things go as well. And at least when you're letting things go, they're still going to be quality pieces that you can actually sell or donate rather than chuck them away.
I absolutely agree with that. And in fact, I've been referring people to eBay because eBay is actually doing some fantastic work in the circular economy about, you know, as you just said, if you're investing in quality, then it makes it so much easier to be able to resell that through the circular economy. So yes, lots of different, I know as my life has shifted, you know, I've gone from being on the runway to being in the paddock. My lifestyle choices and fashion choices have shifted, but it's always really fun to shop my wardrobe again and get back in there and see what's in there and get that, you know, I think it's that dopamine hit that most women get when they go out shopping, right? So I feel like I now have this same feeling when I revisit my wardrobe. So Nicole, you have such an inspiring Instagram account. How do you leverage social media to shift the conversation from ethical fashion to sustainable style?
Ooh, I don't know if I do. Social media is a headache. I love it. We've got a love-hate relationship. I love connecting with real conversations and with the students via there. The more meaningful, the more authentic, the better. I just try to be myself. You know, I was really unsure when I started out and, you know, I'm trying to find my authentic voice through there. And, you know, that is as best as I can do. And that's what I want to see. Like I'm not that perfectionist stylist who you see looking perfect every day. I've got stains on the majority of my clothes.
But that's what's so exciting about your account is it's so real. Like it's so, you know, it's so easy to relate to you because it's, you know, the information that you're providing is really approachable and it's meaningful. And I think, you know, I mean, I've certainly gained some great advice from watching. So on that, you often share daily tips and hacks with your audience. What are your top three tips for someone starting their sustainable style journey?
Great question. I would go back to the number one, stop following trends. So as hard as that may be, I would really encourage just taking that break. So any influencers you're following that do really follow trends and inspire that consumption, just take a break. It doesn't have to be forever, but just give yourself a month off and, you know, take that detox. So really just try to have that time to get in touch with yourself and just do some reflection there. Number two, I would really encourage you to shop solo, which can be really daunting. And when you shop solo, don't be tempted to send photos to your friends or family. What we really want to do in this stage is get in touch with that fashion intuition. So you do have style inside of you. You're just going to have to pull it out. Like we're being so influenced and overwhelmed by trends and fast fashion that we've lost touch with it, but it's in there. We just have to allow it that time. So shopping solo will really help with that and just feel, you know, just allow yourself to feel, how do I feel in this top? How do I feel in this color? How about this silhouette when I cinch my waist? Does that make me feel good? And then I would say number three, experiment. Like I know that we're all time poor. And it's just trying to find that time, glimpses of time, if your baby's asleep or if you're working from home and you've got a lunch break, go into your existing closet, go into your partner's closet, go into your mum's closet. If you have time, go out to the shops. You know, purchase things online and make sure that they've got a great return policy. And then you can try things on with your existing wardrobe, experiment with tops and bottoms, a third layer. Experimenting is really key when it comes to finding your style and refining your style.
That's right. And I think from my, you know, being on the land, obviously having access to online shopping has been a game changer. But I would also add that, you know, for small businesses, particularly in rural or regional Australia, there's some amazing designers and products. So I would also encourage our audience to really support small business. So get out there and have a look at what people are doing and, you know, whether or not you're in city or country, but just walk down to your corner store or walk down to, you know, find out who is your local fashion store in your district and go and support them and have a chat with them and you know, get in there and have a discussion about what makes you feel good. And just as you said, experiment. So I know that, you know, I see this just in the discussions that I have, but what do you feel are the biggest misconceptions people have about sustainable fashion in your experience?
I guess it is. It comes back to putting that pressure on the brands, which is great. And I have to really recommend it because they listen to the consumer. So asking your favorite brands, like how are these clothes made? What is it made from? They're all so valuable questions. And trust me, like when the customer asks brands questions, we pay attention. That really moves our strategy. You know, it really talks, it speaks loudly because if you're thinking it, so are 100 other customers. They're just not asking the question. So we need to hold brands accountable 100%. But I guess the biggest misconception from a customer's perspective is the shopping, do I have to shop only sustainable goods such as, you know, organic cotton or recycled polyester or whatever that may look like, or secondhand. I shop a lot of secondhand, so that I think that's fabulous. But limiting yourself, I think that's the misconception. I think, you know, we need to be thinking about that broader consumption and slowing down our purchasing. Going into when we're purchasing something, going with intention, make sure that we're clear as to what we're looking for and what we're trying to achieve with that new piece in our wardrobe. Pairing it back to our existing wardrobe, making sure that we've got a hard working wardrobe that works for us and our lifestyle. I think, yeah, we just don't, that the misconception probably comes around what are the brands doing and forgetting about what we can do as consumers.
And as you said, you know, you're advocating for curating a wardrobe suiting both personal style and values. I've got this particular body shape. What do I do? Where do I start?
I'm launching a course, which is a short course, which is going to help our students discover their body shape, skin tone, and lifestyle. And so we just go with the basics. So that's a great place to start, is discovering those three things and really honing in and then being able to draw on your existing wardrobe. And once you've got those foundational pieces, then you can go to your existing wardrobe and pick out, I would say, 5 to 10 of your pieces, your favorite pieces that you know suit your body shape, skin tone, and are going to work for your lifestyle. Once you hang up those 10 beautiful pieces that you know you feel 100% comfortable with, that's when we can go a little bit deeper and create that collection for the season to come. So I'd love to give a free link to the Recalibrate Your Style on a Seasonal Basis, so we can hopefully provide that to anyone who's listening. And that's the process that we can go through together. And spring's around the corner. Spring is tomorrow.
I know. It's amazing. I can't believe spring's here. It's so exciting.
So we're 2 days off spring. So now's the time we can do a recalibration of our style for spring to come. So I can send that guide to everyone. And then I think it's, yeah, that's the key. It's just going through that process with us. And if you want to get some more information, we've got the course that we'll be launching soon.
Well, Well, that sounds super, super exciting. And thank you so much for offering to share that link. So just on that, with regards to your school, what's the most significant takeaway you hope for your students to gain?
A deep sense of self, a deep sense of self and self-worth, and the confidence to present that to the world through style.
Fabulous. And so where do you see the future of fashion heading, especially in terms of sustainability and consumer behaviour?
I truly believe that we can change the world through fashion. I truly believe it. It is a huge multi-trillion dollar industry and it touches us all. We all wear clothes. So I think if we can shift our behaviour, we can change the world through the fashion industry. I truly believe that.
I agree. I think there's just such an opportunity, particularly as the industry comes together and there's been this shift. There's been a huge shift in consumer mindset, but there's also been a huge shift at an industry level. And again, as I said, working instead of just working in silos, if we can work together right from the paddock or, you know, producing cotton, producing wool, right through to a brand level, there's a huge opportunity for change. And I'm really excited. I'm really buoyed about what's possible. And the more conversations that I have, it's really exciting to see what's happening at a grassroots level, because often those conversations just get overlooked in the media. And so if you could make one change for a more sustainable future in fashion, what would it be? And don't worry, I ask this to all of my guests, so you're not alone in this question.
I would say the one outfit a season would be, you know, what I would love to see everyone looking at doing. I think it's really, if I was to tell you to buy only one outfit a season, you're going to go into that really seriously and you're going to put a lot of thought into it and a lot of consideration. You're going to invest in a piece that's quality and that's wanting to last, and you'll be really proud of that choice and you'll wear it with confidence and all the self-worth and glory that comes with that. I think it would be a beautiful world if we all bought one outfit a season.
I really love that idea, and I'm going to take that idea and run with it myself. So thank you for that hot tip. I think that's fantastic. Nicole, is there a question that I haven't asked you today that you would like to share, a thought or something that really is important to you on this topic that you'd like to share with our audience today?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would love to encourage the audience. I've said it a little bit, to hold brands accountable. So I'm still in the industry. I work with many brands, trying to help them become more sustainable and ethical. And like I said, they do listen to the customer. What I would love to encourage customers to do is hold them accountable to their quality. So if you purchase something and it doesn't last, you know, I would be saying at least a year. Like, our standards have decreased so much, but it should last at least a year, if not longer. And I don't care if you're wearing that every day. Like, products need to last, and that's the way to brands to become more sustainable. If we can hold them accountable and say, this is just not okay. It's not okay that it's already got a hole in it. It's not okay that it's splitting at the seams. And I don't even care how much you pay for it. You can pay $20 or you can pay $200. I still think brands have a responsibility to make products that last. So simply by taking it back, you are making them aware that this quality is subpar and you expect more. If we can increase our expectations on brands, I think we can shift the industry. And look, consumers have a really powerful voice. They've got social media, they've, you know, word of mouth. Like, we have the power to shift the industry.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about quality too, when you consider that the majority of returns online, it can be as high as, you know, 35-40% in a season. That has a flow-on effect to the environment as well, in terms of, you know, diesel costs, suppliers, transport. There's such a flow-on effect to, if that garment had been very good quality, you know, it might have arrived without, um, with really good threads in place, everything was properly made, then that is by default reducing that flow-on effect. So absolutely, I think if the quality is up front, then you're minimizing that type of impact. So Nicole, where can listeners connect with you or learn more about your work?
So I am on Instagram. I am on TikTok. I'm on Facebook, on Pinterest, but I guess I'm most active on Instagram. I'd love for you to come and join us on Instagram. So it's at sustainable_style_school. Love for you to come and join us. And if you are interested in learning more, send me a DM and I'd love to have a chat with you.
Well, that's amazing. And as I said before, I'm just so grateful to have you here today sharing all of your incredible insight and, you know, sharing with our listeners all there is to know about Sustainable Style School. It's just been such a joy having you on the podcast today. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Vanessa. I really have enjoyed my time.
My pleasure. Bye for now.
All right, bye.